Well, I'm going to need some of your help this morning because I think I'm going to go a different direction than all this hours of time that I spent on this particular lesson. Diane and I were sitting at, breakfast yesterday, and I've been doing my morning reading and so on in the Bible, and suddenly this thought occurred to me. Seeing is believing. And we usually, in the word of faith context, come against that. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We were just singing about, not going to live by what I see. I understand that there's a truth in that, but I'm going to look at it from the other side, and I'd like to get us to do that because it's what we're seeing is what we're getting. And so we are seeing is believing. Whatever we're seeing, we're believing that. We may be believing the wrong thing, but we're seeing something, we're believing that particular thing. If we're seeing sickness and disease, that's what we're believing. You can believe in sickness and disease. In fact, you can believe even when you're not sick that you should be sick because you have to pay the price or because, I'll admit this to you. Growing up as an introverted child, I got more attention when I was sick. So I have to fight against that because there's a sense in my heart that I'm still trying to allow the Holy Spirit to change. Created me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit in me. That I'm going to get more attention if I'm sick or struggling in some way. Well, I don't want to live there anymore. I've lived there and it's not so good. So you get some attention, but you're still sick, you know. Needs to change. So we need to change. We need to change what we see. It's not that the system works, but it works positively or it works negatively. Now, my first noticing of this was and I've been reading Joshua, so the book of Joshua, that's why I suppose it came around to that. In Joshua 6:1, I believe it says that all of Jericho was shut up because of the children of God, children of Israel, and nobody went in, nobody went out. And God said to Joshua, see, I've given you Jericho. See, I've given you Jericho. And I look at that, I don't know all the details, but I think they may have been, every time they came around, you know, they're wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And I think maybe when they came around every time to that place, I think they could look across and see Jericho. It had big walls. It's been said that you could have chariot races on top of the walls of Jericho. And they're looking at that thinking, we're supposed to go in there someday, and that'll be the first city, and it didn't look too good. Interesting that the people of Jericho were afraid of the children of Israel, and the children of Israel were afraid of the people in Jericho. In fact, that whole generation died off because they couldn't go in because of fear. They believed a lie because of fear. So they looked across, and then they finally do cross, and now they're facing Jericho, and so God came up with this plan about walking around. I love it. If you ever heard the VeggieTales version of that, keep walking because you won't knock down that wall yet. I can see there's a peas, I think, are singing that thing. Yeah, pretty cool. Probably that's the original biblical intent was peas singing about that. But see, I've given you Jericho. So they follow God's plan, and they walk around once a day for 7 days, or 6 days, on the seventh day they walk around seven times. And there's a miracle that happened before time, too, because God said to tell Joshua to tell them, just be quiet, don't say anything, no talking while you're going around there. And they did. They kept quiet. And then when the time was right, Blow the horns, shout, shout, because victory is yours. And the walls fell down. Some of the archaeological studies seem to indicate that it didn't fall out or in, it fell down into the ground. And there was a victory won. Now, the second place that they went was a little city called Ai, and they forgot to do something there. They forgot to ask God for direction. And so they went in there and said, it's a small city. We won't even send all our army out there. We'll win this one quick. And they went to battle, and they were defeated. I think it says like 37 guys were killed, lost their lives because of that. And then Joshua tore his clothes, fell on his face before the Lord, said, Lord, now they're all going to hear about the victory that's been won against us, and they're going to all gang up on us and defeat us and kick us out of here, or kill us all or whatever. And God said, stand up. Got a plan. And he said, and I hadn't noticed this before, but he said, see, I've given you Ai. See, I've given you Jericho. See, I've given you Ai. Which, to me, this is what this said to me. Even after you made a mistake, you still got to get back to this place of, see, there's a victory here. You might have lost this battle, it seems like. You might have spent a month in the hospital or something. You know, whatever your particular situation is, might look like you've been losing, but if you can see, whatever you can see, you believe what you see in the Spirit, then you'll have that victory again too. Interesting. Then I was reading where the land is towards the end of the book, and the land is being divided between all those tribes. And, you know, Judah gets this, their section. And I don't remember exactly which tribe it was, but it's getting down to the end of that division of the book. Is this interesting to you at all? Do you understand where we're going here? So there's a tribe, and they said, we have too many people for the area that you're giving us. And Joshua said to him, well, hey, you got all this area out there. But he said, well, the trees still have to be cut down there. Well, cut down the trees, you know. And then they said, well, there's still a lot of Canaanites living in there. The, you know, the Perizzites and the Jebusites and the Ites, all the Ites are out there. And they, you know, they're strong and so on. So Joshua went before the Lord, came back to them and said, this is what belongs to you. Need more room? Cut the trees down. Drive the inhabitants out. And the problem was, again, it doesn't say the word see is not used in that sense, but it's the same kind of thing. They saw themselves as not being able to do those things that needed to be done to inherit the land that they belonged to. They didn't see themselves to be strong enough. And apparently, I'm going to get some help here, which I need, praise God.
I was just, as he was talking about Jericho, I was just reminded, I taught this like years ago, and there's not, as they like went around each day, there's no indication that like each time, like, oh, there was like a little crack here and a little crack there, or, you know, there was no indication that anything changed. So can you imagine just like each day, like another day goes by, another day goes by. It is a miracle that they were quiet, because the Israelites, knowing, you know, what they were like, they had to have been thinking, like, what are we doing here? There's no sign of any hope. When we look at the natural, nothing's changing. And then they get that last day, and then seven times around, like, there's no indication that anything changed. And so it's just, like he's talking about seeing, Joshua had to have been seeing this in his spirit. And I don't know how much all the rest of the Israelites got a hold of it, I guess, to some extent. But, you know, I think there are times when God works in our lives, and it's a process. And you can see it in steps. But there are times, I think, that there are circumstances that you just look at it, and you're like, there's no hope here. I don't see it. But if you just in the spirit, in your meditation, in God, in the truth, in the word, if you see it that way, then it doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural. And you can, you just keep walking and you just keep doing what you know to do and you just keep working on your heart. And suddenly, remember that was a big teaching back in the day. Suddenly, God makes a way where there doesn't seem to be any way. Amen. And I was relating it to, who's the guy that went and dipped in the river?
Amen.
Yeah, so he had leprosy, right? So same thing there. Like, he had no hope, and he didn't know what to do. And he went, and he would dip in the river, I think, 7 times again, right? Didn't he have to do it? There's no indication, again, that anything changed. It wasn't like each time, you know, it was getting a little better, a little better. No, he had to just keep doing it. He had to be obedient. And then, you know, whatever, I don't get it all. Like, we don't see everything that God sees. We don't understand kind of all the things that are going on in the spirit. But if we just keep walking, just obey, and just keep changing where our focus is and what we're seeing, then ultimately, the word is true. So it has to manifest. Amen?
Probably got to get it. You know, you got to get an attitude. Boy, am I speaking to myself when it comes to this. If the situation saying it's going to win, I mean, you're not going to win. You know, get right up in its face and we're going to see our way through this. God's going to see me through this. And not just coping with it, but conquering. Now, back to the tribe that was receiving their inheritance. I was thinking about that and thinking that the land had already been basically conquered by that time. They had seen Jericho fall, Ai fall, all these other kings. Then, you know, they had some victories along the way before they even got in the promised land. So they'd seen God do great things, but then they came to this situation and they're thinking, and here's another situation to add to it. Caleb, who was, you know, Joshua and Caleb were the only ones with a positive testimony on the other side. We went out and looked at the land, it's great land. God's given it to us, no problem. And the other 10 spies said, we can't go in there. There's big guys in there. And we're like grasshoppers in their sight and all that kind of stuff. Caleb comes into the land and he says, I want the mountain. I want the place where the giants live. Give me that place. And he went up there and took it without any problem. Now here's this particular tribe saying, well, we can't. And Joshua said, you guys are strong. There's a lot of you. The land's already been conquered ahead. You can do this. And, you know, apparently they didn't. And every one of the Canaanites that were not kicked out, not killed off like they were supposed to be, came back and bit them. If not that generation, then the next generation or somewhere along the way. Those things that I would tell you, those things that we don't deal with are going to come back to haunt you somewhere along the way. You might as well deal with them while they're there in front of you now by the Spirit. So, see, I've given you Jericho. See, I've given you Ai. See yourself having the victory. We are really a visual people, aren't we? There's one of the words for, I was studying a long time ago, one of the words for no in the New Testament, gnosis or epinosis, one of those, when it translated over to the Latin, which I don't speak either, but I saw in one of the books, it's where we get our word video. To know is to be able to see. Do you understand? Video. And we are we a video society or what? I mean, why did this whole computer thing go so well? Because we're video. Up a little, yeah. We're video people. And so we like to see and hear and have those senses that way. I was talking about 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk by this natural sight. We do walk by the natural sight, but we need to walk by a spiritual sight. What I'm saying is we do walk by what we see. But we don't want to do We don't want to continue to do that in a lot of the areas that we've been. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. Let me see if I can get this now. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, provides for us an exceeding abundant. No, that's 2 Peter. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, there's a the verse finishes anyway, and it goes on to say, for while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now let's think that through here. So the problem that we're facing, we can see it with a natural eye, but that's temporary. The answer that already belongs to us, we can't see with the natural eye, but if we can see it with the spiritual eye, it's eternal. Now, eternal doesn't mean so much lasts forever, but it's in this realm that exists now. Right now, righteousness exists. Right now, healing exists. Right now, deliverance exists. Right now, strength exists. Right now, peace exists. It isn't something that has to come. It's not something that used to be, but it's not now. It's not something that's going to be, but it isn't now. It's now. Now faith is. And so I need to see beyond wheelchairs and see beyond pain and see beyond doctor's reports. I didn't even know there were as many different doctors as I've seen recently. You know, praise God for the help that we get. And as Jim Richards would say, praise God for medication that would take away the pain so I can focus on the right things. But I need to see, Wayne, you need to see, and you need to talk to yourself and say, whatever your name is, you need to see the unseen realm and see Jericho defeated and see AI falling and see yourself having victory even when you failed the last time and see yourself winning in every situation. And see yourself driving out the enemy. And see yourself walking. And see yourself strong. And see yourself intelligent and smart. And see yourself promoted. And see yourself in all these different ways. See.
I've been reading this book and I gave reference to it a few weeks back. And it's a secular book. And it's about, I forget what it's called, but it's about getting wealthy, getting rich. And this guy there's so much scripture that he is using, and he's not a Christian, there's so much scripture he's using, but he gives exactly what Wayne's talking about. He's just these examples of, you know, that say, you know, you want to be rich, you want to be wealthy, and, well, I won't go into the detail from that part. But this is what you want. You want to be better financially. And so what he says, you know, we know from a Christian perspective, you know, the poor will always have with you and we're supposed to help the poor and that, you know. But what he's saying, if you can get a hold of this, is what he's saying, do not look, don't focus on poverty. Don't focus on, we do not help the poor by focusing on poverty and learning all the reasons why people are poor and, you know, and focusing on all that, the negative stuff that produces poverty. We will not get wealthy if we're focusing on poverty. We will not get healthy if we're focusing on sickness. What do we do now? You get these symptoms, so what do? You go on the internet, you Google this, and you know, and you study it all out, and you find out, okay, this is what this is, and this is all my options, and yada, yada, yada. And so what are we doing? We're emphasizing, we're seeing the disease. We're seeing, and we're telling ourselves, no, I'm doing this so I know how to get out of this. But no, we're focusing on the negative. We're not focusing on the answer. We focus on lack. We focus on, you know, figuring out how I'm going to make it. We're not focusing on the answer. And one of the things he says in the book, it's the hardest thing there is to do, to change our thoughts, to think the right direction, to think the right thoughts. And if you're honest with yourself, you know, it's a battle to catch yourself and to keep focusing on the answer. Well, I need to think about this. I need to figure this out. But no, to focus on the answer. I know with going through, to building our house and, you know, doing all the work with it and the finances and stuff and getting, you know, reminding myself
You know, to either focus on the things that I don't see, you know, and how much this is going to cost and how much this is going to cost and that, and then bringing it back to, no, focusing. I see the house done. I see myself walking through the front door. I see the colors. I've got it so I can see my apartment. I can see the paint. I can see the flooring. You know, I can see the kitchen cabinets. I can see my bathroom. But focusing on that every time that are you bleeding or something?
No.
Okay. Instead of focusing on what I don't have, focusing where I am right now and reminding myself, faith is now, reminding myself, just dealing with what is in front of me right now. No, I know there's all this stuff. I don't, you know, someone says, how are you going to do this? I don't know. I just have to bring it back to right now, because faith is now. God is now, and keep bringing myself back, focusing in the right spot, the right spot, the right spot, because we all have all sorts of crap, all sorts of garbage that we can let our minds go to, and we can convince ourselves, yes, I'm helping, you know, worrying, I'm helping whoever, you know, I've got to figure out how to do this. But what happens? We don't solve anything. We just bring ourselves down. But, you know, working on that is exactly what Wayne is talking about this morning, is seeing the answer, whatever it takes.
Amen. Jesus dealt a lot with, I'll get to you, I just want to do some other things first here. Jesus dealt a lot with blindness. I'm trying to think of how it's worded in Luke 4, 17, with he's anointed to, give sight to the blind. And I think that's more spiritual blindness. Not that he can't heal. He certainly has healed the natural blindness. But to heal spiritual blindness, which, you know, maybe that's the healing we need belief for, is to come to that place where we can see. And I think that we've been taught recently, and it's true, that in order to make the change, you need to get emotionally involved in the meditation. You need to focus on seeing it until it gets to a place where it stirs you emotionally. Boy, wouldn't this be good? Isn't this going to be good? Isn't it? It is good now that I'm not in the wheelchair. You know, whatever it happens to be. I used to spend a lot of time. Anytime I had meditation time, I'm sorry, but this is what I did. Thought about playing for the Yankees. And I all worked out of how they had open tryouts, and even let an old guy like me come and try out. They got press out of it. You know, I worked this whole thing out in my head. And then they gave me a tryout, and they said, oh, we'll let this old guy play. And of course, I played, hit a home run and all this. You know, and boy, I enjoyed it. I could be sitting there, supposed to be doing something else, and be lost in this meditation of playing for the Yankees. If I did that same kind of thing and focused on, as important as that is, but it's focused on healing and things like that. This is the change of heart. I need a change of heart. You need a change of heart. If the heart vibrations aren't right, then you're never going to quite get over the hill. You think you're making progress, but you fall back. What's the expression? One step forward, two steps back, or whatever it happens to be. We've done too much of that. It has to be a heart change, and the heart change comes from the meditation of seeing health, seeing strength, seeing victory, seeing promotion. Even seeing peace. You see, it's more than just a natural eye sense. It's all the senses. I think there are spiritual senses that are like the natural senses. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, those kind of things. So, that's the change that needs to be made. To focus on those things, to get our emotions going in that direction too. To train ourselves to the point where when you see certain things or when you sense certain things, where do you go? There was a time in my life when I didn't pay any attention to pain. Little twerp shows up here and there and I didn't really pay any attention to it. I know it comes with getting older, but I know I can't afford to think, wow, what was that? That could be this. I don't go to MD.com or whatever it happens to be, but I know enough in a natural sense to think, well, that could be that, and that could be that. And then you begin to see. But you're seeing the wrong thing, and you're believing what you see. I'm believing what I see. Not blaming you. No, not that you would do that, but I would do that. No, we would all do that. And this is what we've got to change. Seeing is believing. What are you seeing? So when we're worshiping, as we're about to do, and thinking about the words that are up there, as I prepare, I'll have Mary Beth come up and share what she was going to share. But meditate, work on seeing what you really need to see instead of what you've been seeing.